Bill Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was my conversation with Hill Brown, Southern Director of Faith in Harm Reduction. Find them on the web at faithinharmreduction.org. And for now, that's it. You've been listening to Free Culture Radio. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. I thank my guest, Hill Brown. Many thanks to everyone out there fighting for civil rights, human rights, and social justice. And thanks especially to you, dear listener, for your support. You make it all worth it, and you make it all possible. Free Culture Radio is a volunteer production for community radio and syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's audio port service. Please support your local community radio station. Become a member. Become a volunteer. Free Culture Radio is available as a podcast or direct download. Links are at the website kboo.fm/freeculture, along with an archive of past shows. Theme music for Free Culture Radio is composed and performed by Tom Nickel in Four Dimensional Nightmare and is used with permission of the artist. We'll be back in a month to continue our examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the influence of drugs on society. Thanks again for listening. This is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long!
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from the Bureau of Labor and Industry's Child Care for Construction, working to provide resources and support for construction apprentices registered with the state of Oregon, in partnership with Business Oregon. More info at oregon.gov/BOLI/apprenticeship under the link Financial Assistance for Registered Apprentices.
This is Cynthia McKinney, and you're listening to Hard Knock Radio.
I'm Arianna Huffington, and when I'm in the Bay, I keep it locked to Hard Knock Radio.
This is Harry Belafonte on Hard Knock Radio.
This is Dennis Kucinich here on Hard Knock Radio.
This is Ryan Dellums on Hard Knock Radio. What's up?
Militia at Pine Ridge ran 61 Native Americans dead. Nobody cared about the people protesting. Another broken deal, another broken treaty, another land steal. So energy companies keep their hands filled. Great resources, chant and drill, baby drill. Crackbook resources, they kill, baby kill. Who's the hero when the villains the Navy SEAL? Took a man to take a stand and take aim. American Indian movement defended his rights in 75. Citizens started out with the FBI. Two officers died, prosecution lied, sentenced to life, even Barack Obama denied. Appeals for clemency, beaten in prison and mistreated. Parole hearing in July 2024, he'll be 79. Stand with an innocent man, rally and cry, say free Lenin.
Free Lenin!
Can't unite when all this hate and divide. Religious symbols spelling coexist. When you see a brother, let me see you pump your fists and scream.
Damn, Razzcast, that was one hell of a...
of a summation. As I observe some ravens, it occurs to me how my mom was born on a reservation. Originally a place of incarceration, not a palace or tourist destination. At the intersection of personal memories and social history, distracted by a pop culture mentality, attractive actresses or current events, but I need rapid ways to curate rent. They said to me, your cause is outrageous. Fortunately, fighting for unjust laws contagious. Some try for extortion and freeloading, while the real want exoneration, so Leonard free. While racism still is the reason, Leonard in prison. Don't be prejudiced, be quick to test the fundamentalist. No matter how it sounds, the truth is always profound. These days it's assimilation via assimilation, sure to give you a stimulation and the elimination of your traditional metaphysical thoughts. Cause remember, Leonard came through for the poor and oppressed to address the civil unrest. Most will never guess, even the prosecutor of his trial asked for a pardon him from jail. Don't overlook the subjectiveness when the system is the real symptom. The real symptom, the system.
KVD Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. Joining us today is somebody whose name we have mentioned almost the entirety of our show. We've been on 20 years, and we have often paid homage, gave updates, and talked about the plight of freedom fighter Lenny Peltier. We're happy to have him this afternoon. I want to thank DJ Leonard, who was frequent guest on our show, for connecting us. First of all, welcome home. I know a lot of people say that to you, and we're glad to have you. The obvious question that I want to ask you is, with the sacrifice that you made and you being a symbol of resistance for so many, how do you feel things are right now at this current state? Have we gone forward? Have we gone backwards? What do you think is needs to be done moving forward?
Hello first. Let me say hello first. This is Leonard Peltier, and I am on the Turtle Mountain Chippewa Cree Nation, and I'm glad to be home, of course. And it's, although I'm on house arrest, like care, and it's still, it's a million times better than that cell. So I'm grateful to be home, and I want to say thank you to all of you that have listened to the show and have done some help. To help me, and I am very grateful to everybody. But it's, I gotta admit, it's kind of sad to come home to the situation America's in now, and possibly the world. There's a good possibility we might end up getting into a nuclear war. Nobody's gonna win the nuclear war, neither us or whoever we're gonna fight with. And because all they need is one or two bombs to get in, and they will, to get into America, and the destruction is going to be phenomenal, and the death is going to be enormous. So the situations today seem a little more dangerous, let's say, and of losing what freedom we have left, and turning into a possible fascist country that's trying to take over. So we can be, it's everybody out there better get together, better start uniting. We got a chance of stopping it in the next year in the midterm elections. And we got to put in there, even though I'm not that crazy about the Democrats, because they could have done a lot better with beside Kamala, who who didn't have a chance anyway. I didn't believe it from the start when she first got nominated. I said, she's not going to win. She was a U.S. attorney. She was making some horrid statements about one of them that was, I know was seriously damaged her, was a statement that it don't matter of if you were wrongfully convicted. Once you got a trial, it was over. Didn't matter if it was a bad trial or whatever. And I'm sure, I don't know, all the people I talked to, they remembered that and everything. They said, we're not going to vote for somebody like that. Nor did she make any statements against what the Jews are doing in Gaza. They're killing women and children over there, babies, unborn babies, and destroying that whole country. And, you know, it's not all Jews like that.
Right.
There's Jews fighting it themselves. We're not hearing anything about it. But I don't want the world to know it's not all Jews are behind Newton Otto.
Right. Well, we're talking about the Zionist, you know, project.
Yeah.
Is the one that has been destroying Gaza. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Leonard Peltier, we've often talked to people who have look to move away from the Western ideology, you know, the type of things that have quote unquote made America great. And folks said, let's go back to indigenous ways. Let's go back to ancestral ways. Let's find our spirituality. Let's find other ways in which we communicate with one another. Those types of, you know, practices and understandings first. How have you been able to use those to maintain during the time you were incarcerated in looking at things now? And is that something that we should really be seriously embracing and digging even deeper into, you know, those type of indigenous and ancestral practices to move forward?
Well, one of the things that we got to understand and is that we can never go back to the way time was. That's out. But we can move forward in like our people were doing anyway. They were moving forward each generation that went by. Actually we were more advanced than Europe was. We had the best agricultural system, the best health system, farming. We had irrigation, and we were moving forward because we had the best in the world, the health system. Nobody was sick here. Over in Europe, they had a plague that was, 150 million people died, and that's probably a real low number, because they're not going to tell the world that they had twice that number or whatever it was. And also agriculture. All the vegetables that you eat on the table today, they came from here. We had domesticated those and planted those. And many other difference. We were, we got monuments that are still up that we built. That's not savages. That's not uncivilized people and this whole continent. And we would like to, but unfortunately, I don't think it's possible for us to get back all of our land. But there is some land that's in control of the government. We can get that land back because it actually belongs to us. But we have to join in unity. We cannot do it alone, and that's uniting with everybody, every race in the United States, because almost every race supports us anyway. So we have that's the only thing that we can hope to get back. And there's millions and millions of acres of land that we could still get back. And I mean, that's what reality is, and. That's what we gotta take. We gotta make our goals for to get the land back that's available.
I hear you on the talk about land back, and I think that is definitely, I think everybody listening would agree.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality, though, how do we look at that at this point in time? You know, is there another level that we should be striving for? Is there another approach to looking at that? And I ask that because that is something that people are kind of looking at and trying to figure out. You know,
I don't understand the question. What do you mean? They want to go back to just religion, just strictly religion?
No, I mean,
I mean, that's never worked either for them. You know, that's where they ran away from Europe.
I'm talking about us who are oppressed.
In our governments was real separation between government and church. Let's say church, a religion. Native people. That's the way we practice. Our religion did not control us. Our governments. Our say the. I mean, if you read Benjamin Franklin's statement, as you know, he wrote the Articles of Confederacy here in America. He wrote a letter to the people that were all organizing the system that is run that America is run after today, and he said they would be surprised to know that this so-called savages was able to create a system that was separation of church and government and had operated for perhaps thousands of years. So I mean that come from us,
right?
That was our philosophy. Why would he write something like that if it wasn't true? So we know it's true, and I think that's the route we're going to continue. We can't have our religion control our philosophies of government. And,
right. I guess maybe I framed the question wrong. But what I was, I'm looking at a time where we're now having, you know, culture being erased. You know, I mean, that's always been the case, but even more so now, being, you know, we can't get our history. Books being banned, and that is, of course, piqued the curiosity. People are now
that's
trying.
Always
to...
been the philosophy of religious governments, book banning and all everything. They want everything to be controlled by them. The Christian have been doing this for what two thousand since Jesus' time now, and that ain't worked, and it's not going to work because. You know, that's not the teachings of the Creator. I'm positive of that. And right. we can't let them come back in and or like they did in Europe. And I don't think we should let it happen here. Because you've got to remember, there's this a group of Christians that still are in control, in operation. And from I just watching this interview a couple months ago, I think he was on CNN. He was on the CNN show. He said they're growing. They're growing. They're building more churches around the country and stuff like this. These are the people that want to put women back in the kitchen, they called it. They can't vote no more. They can't own businesses no more. And they're growing. Wait a minute. You know, I mean, that's not the teachings of our people. Women control. A lot of clan mothers control the tribes. They're the only ones who could declare war. And the women had more power than some of the men, or most of the men, whereas they're the only ones that could divorce. They're, you know, I mean, women play a big role in Native culture in the families. They control that teepee. That the husband wasn't providing enough, he had to go, you know. Where now this church is trying to—I forget the name of it—but this sect of Christian religion, This is 2005. I'd say these people were gone a long time ago, but here's this guy on TV. We are growing. Right. We are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they want to put the women back so they couldn't vote. They couldn't own right. businesses. Back into, well, to him, back in the kitchen.
Well, you know, just that type of history that you just shared to me is the type of history that we should go back and build upon. And that's what I meant when I was asking the question.
Build a farm?
You know, whether it's returning to land, whether it's, you know, understanding that there's equality among genders. You know, those type of practices is what I'm talking about at a time when, you know, it's counter to what is being forced upon us. It's counter to the type of normalization of oppression under the guise of it being freedom. So I'm glad you shared that history. I think it goes a long way with people when they hear it coming from somebody like you, because they respect and they understand. And it's counter to the type of normalization that is taking place, where somebody would see this type of church that you just described as something that's a good thing,
yeah.
which is crazy to me.
Do a little, it's been at least 2 months ago on CNN. This guy was on, they did a program on this, on right. this, on different things like this, and you'll know the name of that church.
Yeah.
You'll see him talking on there. He was one of the last ones to talk on the church. And telling about how fast they were growing and how big they were growing. And
right.
I mean, I was shocked. I said, what? You want to treat the women like that? Go back to those days? Wow. But that was in our history, in our culture. He didn't treat the women like that. And that's a fact. Native people never treated their mothers and daughters and wives like that. They didn't do that, and we're not going to go back to that. I know that. As long as Ames got something to say here, the American Indian movement, we're not going to go back to those days.
Real talk.
That was the Europeans' teachings, and that was that. That's just not going to happen. By the way. I'm changing and reinforcing the movement that we change our names from the American Indian Movement to the American Indigenous Movement. Mm. Because we're not Indians. We are not from India. And we're moving, and that's moving pretty fast. It's not that big of a change, but it's we want to eliminate the word Indian.
I think it's important. Let me ask you this. The other day, we lost somebody who I think for many people also symbolized resistance.
Yeah,
we're talking about Assata Shakur.
Yeah,
your name and her name and Mumia's name always came up, and that's been like symbols of resistance. Yeah. First of all, did you know Assata, your thoughts on her passing and the connection between AIM and the Black Liberation Struggle?
For over 50 years. And no, I was just as saddened as everybody else, because she's like a sister to me. It's sad that she had to stay away from her family at the time of her passing, and I mean, the people that were responsible for this. Well, it's not surprising, you know. They tried to kill me by making me die in a cell, and I was exonerated at least 14 times with constitutional violations. And so I know how cruel they are, but I've known this. I knew this before I even got involved or ended up in prison on discharge. I knew the history of my people and of what they did to us and the atrocities and massacres and, well, you know, it wasn't surprising to me, and I kept my strength and was just as defiant as always. I would not give up. I could have gave up about 30 years ago. They said, if you admit to your being guilty of that, and made statements that the government didn't really do the things we were claiming they were doing, but was good to us and saved us from savagery and shit like this. I told them to go fuck themselves. I was not gonna do that. I was not a traitor, and I kept my strength and defiance all the way to, even as I was walking out, I think you'll see me in some of my statements I made. I'm not gonna die this way. I'm gonna get, and then I see her, she had to, I don't know if they'll even let her body come back now. I don't know. I probably won't, especially under Trump. Trump's trying to go after, he's trying to go after all the black politicians. I think you guys know that, know that, you know. And that's what they get for voting for the devil.
Real talk. What was the connection between AIM and the black liberation struggles, and what do you think it should be moving forward? I know you said unite, but how did you all break bread back in the days, and how has that evolved over the years?
Well, we just met with them in a lot of places where we were invited. See, the American Indian Movement cannot go into any Native community and start dictating their policies. We cannot do that. We're not that type of organization. We can only go in if we're invited by the traditionalists, our tribal governments. Of course, the tribal governments back in them days didn't want us anywhere near the nation because they were corrupt and they were stealing and they were doing everything, you know, everything we were fighting against. But, and it's still the same today. As long as I'm around, the Native American is not going to go in and just start dictating our policy to any Native nation or any other group. We have to be invited first, legitimately too, you know. And but those policies are going to continue as long as I'm under the leadership of the American Indian Movement.
Real talk. You know, right now, with everything that is coming down the pipe, what are two or three things that you would say to a younger generation that we should do, strategic-wise or philosophically or anything like that, with, you know, you said you're looking towards, you know, trying to make sure that there's some sort of stopgap before the midterm elections, but what should we be doing, you know, in struggle over the next couple of years?
Well, as I said, one of the main things is we got to make sure our unity is solid. And
when we say unity, I already see
a lot of areas where they're successful, like in LA. LA was able to run out ISIS, and from what I've heard in news media's I caught, and that's the type of thing I'm talking about. Unity about that, like that. As you see, he's trying to go after every Democratic government, state government that voted against him, and he's trying to break that up by he's trying to punish him for not voting for him by these tactics of bringing in the army and stuff, which is illegal now. That's totally illegal. You know, he should be arrested. He should be definitely arrested. That's what people are going to start calling for, his arrest. Or violating the Constitution of the United States, him and his clonies that are pushing this. He's not the only one pushing them now. You got that whole party. They're all a bunch of fascists. We gotta understand that. There might be a few, one and two are here every now and then. Every place might not be, but the majority of them are. They're fascists. And we got to unite under this. We can do it. We did it under Nixon. We did it back in the 68s. You know, I was there, by the way. The Chicago riots, they called it. You know, and all those other marches that we had. We were in Seattle, and there was 50. It was a marching there. 50,000 of us was in the streets. You know, so we need that type of. And even larger of demonstrations and voting in people that don't believe in their philosophy, and you know, especially in these special elections and stuff. So we got to send a signal to him. It's not going to work.
No. I hear you. I was going to ask, what does solidarity look like, you know, to you? Is it just us getting along? Is it us sharing philosophy? Wow. Is it us having tasks that we're expected to carry out? What does that look like?
We can call each other brother and sister and mean it. That's what it means to me. Mm-hmm. You know, but we got your back, you got our back, you know. That's what I'm talking about, solidarity, when I say that, unity, you know. Yeah.
Real talk. DJ Leonard, we've been talking with Leonard Peltier, which is such an honor. Did you have a couple of questions for your first cousin?
No, not really. Just wondering what he's been doing for the last 2-3 years.
Right. Well, I was asking Leonard, DJ Leonard, okay, if you had any questions for.
Yeah. How you been doing for the last couple of years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, thank you, Leonard, for your sacrifice and the courage that you have and you continue to have. It's inspired so many people internationally, and you know, there's a lot of international solidarity from all parts of the world. And last 2 or 3 years, you know, ever since he told me about Vine Deloria Jr., I'm just fascinated with reading his research and his books. And you know, I've been honored to, you know, carry on the traditions in underground hip hop. And I know there's a lot of artists that wish they could be here today on this interview. And I'm just honored to be your cousin. And I'm just have just as much gratitude that you're home now. And I hope to visit you soon. And thank you for everything and helping also advocate for my mom, Carol Robidoux. And
I'd like to mention a little bit about that too.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that we tried to make publicly known that,
yes,
a lot of our kids are not, they're not our kids, our grandfathers when they were children, grandmothers, were stolen from us.
And yes,
some were put into slavery and some were sold, just outright sold. And I want you to know, this happened to me, to DJ here, my cousin. His mom was stolen when she was about 3 years old or less. I personally went through that with my family. And right now I'm trying to help her to get this exposed, because when those families that stole, bought her or whatever, I think they bought her, they all passed and they left her and her brother $350,000. 1964, that was a lot of money. And their name is Kaufman in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Their families got to live a wealthy, because they used it to make their wealth grow, but to enlarge their wealth. And they lived very comfortably, where we did not. And that's not right. And by law, that's not right. But I'm working on trying to help Auntie get that funds back from the family. There is a law there that they're supposed to do that. But that's one of the things I'm working with Auntie. That's why I keep encouraging, let's write a book. I got film people in film, but we can now more so. And I'd like to tell her story and put it out there. Maybe,
and I'm glad you bring that up, because that's something that has never been resolved, those type of practices. And we have to expose that. And that's the type of history that gets erased, that should be brought to the forefront when they remove that type of reference from museums and
these
what have you.
Really, these things really happen to us. And they also happen to the blacks too. So, but these things really happen to us. And America should know that. A lot of stuff that they're just now learning about, the atrocities that committed to us. They say, I didn't know that happened. I didn't know that happened. And it did happen. Okay, maybe we can't turn back to the days that it happened and stopped it, stop it. That's part of the history. But it should be revealed so it don't happen again, and or to stop it from happening again. And unfortunately, we're not able to do that. And again, I got to bring up Gaza. You know, that murder that's going on, or that genocide that's going on over there. American people, you're just as responsible when you stay silent and you don't bring it out. You don't say, stop this murder and stop this genocide. Stop it. There is some people out in the streets. There is. I'm not saying it's total silent, but the media is keeping it silent. And yeah, we gotta start shutting those stations off. That's what we did in the 60s and 70s. We said, oh, you don't want to tell the truth to the public, you want to cover it up? Here. And when they start turning off those TVs by the millions, they change their tune quicker. You know, and this is something,
yes,
we gotta do. We gotta organize in that way. We're gonna tell people, shut those son of a bitch stations up. I've basically shut them off now, and all I listen to is YouTube music.
Right. Let me ask you this, Leonard Peltier is with us this afternoon. I started off the show by pointing out that for many people, you have been a symbol of resistance, you and Asada and others that have been, who've made those sacrifices and have spent time in these concentration camps and dungeons put up by our government. Who do you look towards? You know, who have you admired in the past, and are there people now that you look to and you say, you know what, I really like what they're doing. I think we should build.
My hero was my people, Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull, Geronimo, all those, He Dog, American Horse, all those people that were the Shawnee chief. It slipped my mind at the moment. He was a great warrior. I'm having a little problems remembering names and stuff. So it's not something, I'm just not just making this up, but it's right in their history. Those were my heroes, and they're still my heroes. But when I get into the modern times, I liked Shea very much. Shea was a great man to me. Then in the Panthers, there were some guys that I admired very well, and I was in prison with some of them. And, those are my heroes. That's who I believe are my heroes. And I kind of like John Kennedy too. He was all right.
Right.
The best president we ever had.
But do you look at some of the movements that are unfolding now that you feel are moving in a direction that we should amplify?
I haven't really heard of anybody out there yet who's out there in front and making a lot of speeches or not. I haven't really heard of anybody. Nobody's catching my attention anyway. So,
what about the movements, different movements or formations?
Well, this is something, of course, you don't hear it on the mainstream media. And I don't really know, because I went blind and I lost 80% of my vision, so I can't read the materials I used to be able to read. Right. And I have a hard time turning on the TVs. I can't even turn this on because I can't see. I have to have my caretaker do that. So I haven't been able to keep up on who's who in the movements and who's doing what. But I know there's somebody. I know. I mean, they just, I'm not aware of who they are. That's all, at the moment.
Appreciate that. You know, I know your time is short, and I want to thank you for taking time out and joining us this afternoon. Yeah. As we close out, Leonard Peltier, three steps that you want people listening to take moving forward, three things that you feel would bring about liberation, three things that maybe will reconcile something that needs to be fixed. But what three pearls of three jewels that you want to leave us with?
I have to go back to what I continue to say, unity. But start participating too. If you get, if you can and you're not, you know, demonstrate with those people, you know. And I'm not advocating violence. I'm not advocating nothing like this. But I am asking you to prepare for any kind of defense that you might have to make. And you have a right. You have a right to defend yourself. But I'm not advocating violence because that wouldn't do me no good. It would probably end me right back up in the cell again. But I'm not advocating it anyway. So I got to be cautious of what I say too. I can't just get out there and start speaking out like I'd like to. So you guys, everybody out there's got to understand. I don't want to go back to the die. This time I'll die because I can't. I probably couldn't. I was on the verge of dying before I got out, and now I got started to get my help back and stuff like that. But
well, I think you said it over and over again.
If I went back now and they cut me off my medications and everything like this that I'm on, then a couple of years I'll be dead. You know,
yeah.
I ain't scared of it. I don't give a shit. They do kill me. It don't matter. But I would like to die here with my people. You know, or you know, well, speaking out to when I can. You know,
Leonard Peltier, we appreciate you very much. And
thank you. Thank you very much.
As DJ said earlier,
I want to say thank you for all the work you've done to help me, man. Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, that's the very least we could do. You made the sacrifice. The least we can do is keep the story going, keep the focus on.
It was part of my oath, man, to fight and die for the people. So the sacrifice I made was just nothing to me. It was just part of the struggle. I didn't think when I got out that I would get this. I knew I had a lot, but I didn't think it would be like this when I got out. I mean, people are still helping and still helping me keep my refrigerator full and stuff like this. And, I never thought it would happen. So, yeah, I want this understood now that I'm not getting large amounts of money from people. That's not happening. But I don't want it to happen either. So, but, you know, because I got people, jealous people already making stories up that I'm also, I'm rich and all the bullshit, friggin' bullshit. Yeah. But that's one thing I want people to know.
Yeah. Well, what we do know is that you are 10 toes down and still committed to the struggle and reminding us that we have a responsibility to do that.
I'm not changing there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
They can't do what they did to me and to my people to think that they're going to defeat me. No, I'll die with my beliefs, you know. And I don't think I'm wrong. I don't think we are wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong for what they did, and that's what I'm gonna die with, you know, those beliefs. And I hope I'm gonna be around another 15, 20 years. I don't know. They say. Except for the treats, but the medical problems I have now are treatable, and my body's in pretty good shape yet, and I should live another 20 years. So let's hope they're right, you know. But yeah. I hope I can take care of myself. You know, I can still shower and go to the bathroom and everything else on my own without somebody helping me. So. I hope if I gotta get that bad, then I really don't wanna. I don't want to be a problem to anybody, and hope I do pass on. But for the meantime, I'm still in the battle.
Those are words to end on, Leonard Peltier. Thank you so much. Thank you for your sacrifice, and we will. You inspire us to continue to walk in those footsteps and build upon those legacies. Yes.
Well, I hope I bring to everybody. I hope that I bring you the spirit. I hope the spirit in you comes alive. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
We perform for our crowds that support us. Free all political prisoners matters. We need more than an anthropologist with a master's to depict history by observing old pottery, rather than to apologize for atrocities committed to indigenous communities. A biased Eurocentric academic standard. Let's offer balance to the native ethos rendered. Living in a society governed by patriarchy, unable to talk things out internationally, cradle on to your matriarch tightly to stay warm during the storm known as Hurricane America. While some wait for the Naki to come back from Nebula, the conqueror will still roam the people's land like the Roman Empire, void of any remission. Furthermore, stop the corporate co-op merger. Calling all community organizers. Withhold labor, shut industries down. All community organizers. Withhold labor, shut industries down. Commodities. Communities are not commodities. Communities are not commodities. I am a human that has been colonized. My traditional ways are being compromised. Only aware of this when I organize. Learn many religious missionaries traumatized. Civilians to change their appearance. Travesties such as the disappearance of women. They decided my spiritual guides are mystic superstition or myth according to scientific reduction. If science is a myth, then what is reality made of? The U.S. conquered everyone using language, all from a small island called England. See, trying to free Leonard Peltier teaches us this lesson. That if you question authority, you can be easily imprisoned by some who say they solemnly swore to uphold the Constitution. Sort through the contradictions and let the people change their own conditions. Calling all community organizers. Withhold labor, shut industries down. All community organizers. Withhold labor, shut industries down.
What if I told you there was a deeper hidden agenda when it comes to demonizing the southern border? And what if I told you that this deeper agenda actually prevents the eagle and condor prophecy from coming true? Hear me out. See, the southern border of the United States has always been a site for tension and conflict. Politicians and media outlets always focus the attention on immigration and safety, national security. And it's to paint a picture that the region is dangerous and needs to be controlled. And because of this constant demonization and destabilization of the regions from the Southwest United States to the top of South America, it's preventing the unification of the North and the South. And this is because it allows them to maintain control over land, resources, and indigenous identity. And this is not to take away from any other indigenous cultures within the Western Hemisphere, but the region from the Southwest United States to the top of South America, which is all of Mexico and Central America, holds historical and cultural and scientific significance. We see this persistent demonization through the consistent destabilization of these regions. Look at what they've done to Venezuela and El Salvador and Ecuador. What they're doing to Mexico and what they've always done to Mexico. And just because the Southwest United States is on the northern side of the border doesn't mean it's not part of the consistent targeting and demonization of this region. Not only that, these particular regions are very rich in resources, extremely rich in resources. So you have to keep these regions destabilized in order to take the land and resources from indigenous peoples. This also leads to cultural erasure. Not to mention, a huge scar in our lands was created when they cut through our lands to create the Panama Canal, effectively splitting up our one landmass into two. Not only that, but the region from the Southwest United States to the top of South America has the highest concentration of indigenous people. That's including tribal and detribalized people. Some of the largest tribes in the United States are found at the southern border. Look at what they're doing to the Dene people, not honoring their treaties for water, illegally going onto their lands with uranium. I really want people to understand this picture because it's usually just seen as the eagle and the condor, and the Quetzal bird is never added to this narrative, to this prophecy. And the Quetzal bird is crucial to the prophecy. By having the Quetzal bird represent the Southwest United States to the top of South America, it has a symbolic meaning on how important this region is to unifying. And the Quetzal bird is an extremely important bird within this region's cultures. We also know that the Quetzal bird is associated to the quote-unquote Mesoamerican deity, Quetzalcoatl. If we remove the Eurocentric ideology of a god or a deity and look at what Quetzalcoatl symbolized, the serpent represents shedding of the skin and advancing and evolving through time. The feathers represent the Quetzal bird, which had spiritual significance, meaning it served as a messenger and can see between the natural world and the spirit world, and also that it had extremely keen vision, representing having a keen vision and a clear eyesight as you grow, develop, advance, adapt. So the constant demonization, the forced assimilation to disrupt cultures, and the continued destabilization of these regions for its resources has prevented indigenous people within this central area to heal. And this area needs to heal in order for the North and the South to unite. Just like the Quetzal bird's vision is impaired when its feathers are removed or damaged, indigenous people from these regions have been prevented from exercising their full potential and achieving the goals we set out to achieve before colonization. Remember, we were extremely advanced civilizations at that time. Empires built on egalitarianism, and that's always a direct threat to supremacy. And so by keeping the bridge, the middle, the Quetzal, injured, sick, and in constant survival mode, it cannot heal enough to bridge the gap between the eagle and the condor, which is why it's so important for indigenous people across the Western Hemisphere to recognize the erasure that is occurring and to help educate our detribalized people. Because if they're not healed, the region can't heal. And if the region can't heal, the North and the South can't unite.
That was another insightful commentary from Melinda of Brown Girl Pride. Check her out on TikTok or Instagram, Brown Girl Pride. Big shout out to her as we move on and listen to a little music from our homie, Roska D.
Hard knock, hard knock. Smashing the system, burn down the prison. Slap your oppressor, break down the visions. Educate the people, execute the evil. Smash on the system till we all free and equal. Smash on the system, burn down the prison. Slap your oppressor, break down the visions. Educate the people, execute the evil. Smash on the system till we all free and equal. I'm a simple man, all I want is land and water. It's been two generations since my people were slaughtered by the government, aka USA. Think I'll forget and forgive a price we pay today. I ain't no Christian, even Christ was pipping the system. I stay programmed, I'm tired of y'all playing the victim. Ready to throw down on any politician who tricking. I'm on the lowdown, cause they wanna lock me in prison. Every day you benefiting off our land that's stolen. Want us to vote, try and tax a little land we holding. We don't play that, we ride and we taking our land back. We done working for you while you taking a nap. We don't want no bread, we want you f***ing cowards dead. A quarter for an head, $5 for a head. Like you did to my people when you took this hit. We taking all you cowards out, got you shook this shit. The same oppression you'll be feeling when I'm letting out aggression that's been building in me for over 500 years. With no tears, we ride, we the sum of all your fears. When we uprise, then we move together and march. If you cowards ain't with us, then we taking your heart. It's like that, with a gat in your back. Bang a red, black, and green, burning a fat stack of greenbacks.
Smash on the system, burn down the prison. Slap your oppressor, break down the visions. Educate the people, execute the evil. Smash on the system till we all free and equal. Smash on the system,
burn down the prisons, slap your oppressor, break down divisions, educate the people, execute the evil, smash on the system till we all free and equal. I'm a NYM warrior, ready to ride. It's like my heart turned cold, time to ride for your pride. Never die alone, cause I'll be right by your side. Straight warrior code, never leave a warrior behind. Enemy lies, we stay broke. Get money, long as we got land and water. And taking shit from me, corner to corner, block to block, we on lockdown. Brothers are shot down, no mercy for these cops now. The cream of the crop grown, it's time to harvest. Call yourself a martyr, you're soft regardless. Turn our leaders to martyrs, fabricate the charges. Move from state to state with hate, cause they heartless. Make you see the horror and the terrorist strike. Worsen the crack of Congress and your miserable life. Put your wife on welfare, put your kids in prison, so you can understand the street conditions we living. Smash on the system, burn down the prison, slap your oppressor, break down divisions, educate the people, execute the evil, smash on the system till we all free and equal. Smash on the system, burn down the prisons, slap your oppressor, break down divisions, educate the people, execute the evil, smash on the system till we all free and equal. Our women warriors giving birth to revolutions. Stand up, that's not your only contribution in the struggle at all. We got our sisters on the front line and they breaking you off. We taking orders from our sisters and we aiming at y'all. Put you in shock line, freedom to cock mine. The beast in the streets got cameras and stop signs in every intersection, cause Big Brother is watching you coin tear hoes out. Gotta watch who you talking to when the shells fall out. Gotta watch who you walking through when the warrior call out. Gotta watch what you doing to roll out, cause the beast is always pursuing. We gotta stop paying taxes, stop being reactive. We moving aim like Panthers, ain't taking no chances. In the spirit of Mau Mau in the easy LN, it's time to break through the chains for our land we defend. It's time to break through these chains for our land we defend. Smash on the system, burn down the prison, slap your oppressor, break down the visions, educate the people, execute the evil, smash on the system till we all free.
Dr. Caldicott talking on 90.7 FM KBOO.
You all realise how terribly important this radio station is now that the federal government is trying to cut funds for National Public Radio. And you all realise that the real truth only comes out of public radio, and that all the rest of the media is compromised and represents the corporations who are destroying the earth. So you absolutely have to support KBOO with lots of money now. It's imperative, and you all know that.
This is Bernard. It's late summer in Canada, and this Swayzenshawk is about to embark on an astonishing journey. Every year, they travel 12,000 miles round trip between their grassland breeding grounds in western North America and their wintering territories in the Pampas Plains of Argentina. During fall migration, Swayzenshawks form massive flocks with other migratory raptors, sometimes numbering in the tens of thousands, creating a river of raptors that flow from southern Mexico to Panama and beyond. Swayzenshawks are related to red-tailed hawks, but they are more slender, about the size of a mallard duck, and have long, pointed wings that span nearly 4 feet. Though they mostly hunt small mammals in the summer, Swayzenshawks feast almost exclusively on insects like grasshoppers and locusts while in South America. That's actually what gives them their name in Argentina, Aguilucho Langostero, or grasshopper hawks. These beautiful birds have hunted bugs for millennia, but recent agricultural practices have put them both at risk. In the 1990s, pesticides in Argentina killed over 20,000 Swayzenshawks in just 2 years. The tragedy propelled scientists from the US and Argentina to join forces. They banned the pesticides, preventing more deaths and gradually allowing bird populations to recover. The more than 800,000 Swayzenshawks now soaring across the Americas are living proof that when we choose to act, we can make a difference. For BirdNote, I'm Shaky Espejo.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
That's Doc Watson, one of the many artists you can hear on Cascadia Coffee House each Friday morning, when we share a wide variety of traditional and contemporary folk and roots music with you from 5:30 to 7 a.m.